Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Instacart's Deal Week is coming up from December 17th to December 23rd. That means you can get up to 25% off holiday gifts for the whole family from stores like Best Buy, Bath & Body Works, PetSmart, and more. And you can get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Just think of it as Instacart's little gift to you. And while we're on the subject, why not get a little something for yourself, too? Shop Deal Week from December 17th to 23rd and save up to 25% on gifts. Discounts vary. Minimum spend, maximum discount, and exclusions apply.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Apologies to our fans in Oregon this morning because somehow you're the number one seed in the college football playoff, yet you have the hardest road to actually win a title. And that's just one of the takeaways from the 12-team college football bracket. Good morning, Maggie Perloff.
Whoa.
Lots to do this morning.
Why? It's definitely okay. I understand that they have a worse road than Penn State, who they beat.
Yeah, but by a lot.
But at the end of the day, aren't they still have to beat the same teams to get out of this bad boy. The question, you know, they have the hardest road to the Final Four, maybe, but do they have the hardest road overall? I'm not worried about that.
Yes, they do. And, well, here's the other part of it. It's not just that, but you're the only undefeated team here. You beat Penn State in the Big Ten Championship game. You did all the things that you were asked to do, and you did them brilliantly. And, by the way, while the defense wasn't that great against Penn State, your offense probably put together the best game of the season. So your reward for that is that you have the hardest road. What's the number one seed even for anymore? When I say hardest road, I just mean that this is the way that it shakes out. And, by the way, good morning to everybody if I didn't say that again. So let's get to the college football playoff bracket. And, again, we know there's a lot of other things happening today. Juan Soto signs. We'll get to all the NFL stuff. All of it's happening. But I want to pause on Oregon because I feel like they deserve our attention here today. They get the number one seed, and I'm trying to find my bracket here, and all of a sudden it just disappeared on me.
So they play the winner of Clemson against number 5, Texas, number 12 seed.
Okay, so Clemson, right, who, like, walk off.
Yeah, but first of all,
win against SMU. You're telling me, no, I'm sorry, Oregon plays the winner, Perloff, of Ohio State and Tennessee. Oregon play the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee. That's the bracket. I knew that didn't sound right. Ohio State and Tennessee, that's the winner they would play. And that is crazy. You stand here on a soapbox and you stump for the SEC and you stump for Alabama more than anybody. So to have to play one of the heavy hitters in the Big Ten who you beat by a point in your own place, or to face Tennessee in that vaunted SEC, how is that the one seed? How is that fair? How does that make sense for a team that actually survived this gauntlet of a season undefeated?
Right, but Penn State gets possibly SMU and Boise State, right?
Yes. Penn State is on the flip side of this.
What's
Penn
the difference?
State avoided
like,
everyone.
So Penn State just loses later on to a top 10 team instead of early on to a top 10 team. Eventually, you're going to have to beat all these teams.
No, that's not true. Because Penn State is on the separate side of the bracket. So you have Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, and Tennessee all on one side of a bracket.
Yeah.
And then Indiana, Notre Dame, Boise, and yes, Georgia. But
right.
Maybe one of the most vulnerable, beatable Georgia teams that we've seen over the last half a decade.
But the point is, Penn State will have to play a top 10 team in the Final Four, at least. So,
well, you'd freaking hope so.
So that's their loss.
But not the, but they're
so
not
they get
the number
further,
one
but
seed.
They lose.
But
yeah.
They're not the number one seed.
Right.
So they should get, there should be something that rewards the number one seed. That's how it works in every other sport when you do this type of playoff format and bracket.
Right.
Something on paper. Penn State doesn't deserve to be rewarded. That's the bottom line. And yet they did, because they're going to play SMU in the first round, and they're probably going to be a healthy favorite. And then they get a bye, and then they get to the next round, they're going to play Boise State. And they're probably going to be a favorite in that game too. So, to me, I just feel for our fans in Oregon. I know we're on there. I know this is a big deal. For them to go undefeated and get the number one seed, and your air quotes reward is you wait for the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee.
Okay.
How does that make sense?
No. And they'll change this next year for sure. But
next
have to
year
be...
could be a totally different team. This is all Oregon's chance right now. And it's not like Oregon has all these national championships that they're sitting on a mountain of. This is not Nick Saban's Alabama team.
But let me ask you a question, though. Does it actually, at the end of the day, to get to the, to win it all, they're going to have to beat Ohio State. They're going to have to beat probably Georgia. So what's the difference when they play them? Like, they're going to have to knock out. The odds are, no matter what the bracket fell, you're going to probably see Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, maybe Texas.
Okay, but you might face one of those on the way. Now you're guaranteed to probably face two of those, unless you really think Texas is vulnerable against Clemson.
Yeah, I mean,
Texas and Clemson
is
the 5-12
seed. Obviously not great.
They're not, but they still have a better path. They have a better road. They play Clemson, and then the winner of that plays Arizona State. And I know Arizona State has come on recently, and this has been an amazing turnaround for a team that was picked last in the Big 12 to now be here as the 4th seed with a bye. But come on.
I'm not worried about Oregon here. They're going to have to beat Ohio State. We all knew that this rematch was coming at some point. So
but
they're
maybe in a semifinal.
But what's the difference?
Not the quarterfinal.
What's the difference? Eventually, they're going to have to do it anyway. And they're probably going to face Georgia, I would imagine,
at some point. We'll see.
Or
I mean, Georgia now.
If they don't get Georgia, then they're going to steamroll somebody. Because who else in this bracket is scaring Oregon? To me, there's two teams, Ohio State and Georgia. And maybe if you squint, Texas. Other than that, they're going to be heavy, heavy favorites over everybody.
Okay, but Ohio State and Texas are both on their side of the bracket. So.
Well, Texas, though, I put as the a little bit on the outside. Like, Texas is good, not great.
Don't you think this is just not what you sign up for when you get a number one seed, though?
Totally. No, this system is stupid.
The committee, to sit up there, and we got lots of problems with the committee, and I don't envy their job, but to be honest, like, they probably make some extra money for being part of this committee, and they have almost zero accountability. Ward Manuel, the athletic director for Michigan, stands up there and just contradicts himself week after week after week. And nobody, there's no recourse. There's no retribution. There's nothing we can do about it except sit there and listen to him yammer on. So this is...
So how did the committee mess this up, though? Because this was structural. That had nothing to do with the committee.
No, because what they said is their job is to rank 1 through 25 on like a blank sheet of paper, and they don't think at all about where the positions are in the bracket. And I think that's BS for the number one seed. Because think about it. If you had actually put this out on paper, you're like, geez, you know, Oregon really survived this year that no one else could survive being undefeated. They did it. And it's not like they played nobody. They did play Ohio State. So
who lost to Michigan? But yeah.
Well, they lost in like the biggest rivalry game. But
well, that was, I mean, they're definitely not ideal right now.
Okay, but
they're not peaking, you might say.
Well, I mean, I don't know. They also beat Indiana, which the committee thought extremely highly of through
all
this season.
They just went scoreless at home against a 500 team in the second half.
Okay, but this committee love the Hoosiers,
but
and they
beat
the Hoosiers.
What are they supposed to? Why did the committee mess this up, though? I'm not sure I totally understand.
I think that they should be thinking about where teams fall on the bracket in terms of how you're seen. Don't just rank 1 through 25 and then say, all right, our job here is done. It's not done. Because you need to see who is actually playing each other in these first round matchups to make sure that the number one overall seed doesn't have to face the winner of Ohio State and Tennessee. Like, that just does not seem fair to me.
So what would they have done then? I'm not sure. Like, they should move Ohio State down or up to avoid them? Or 7 was Notre Dame. That, I think, the same kind of thing. That's a tough team. You kind of want to engineer
it. Did what?
Well, I mean, just
they beat nobody.
Regardless, like, what was the committee supposed to do here? I'm not totally sure.
I think they have to understand that between 7, 8, 9, 10, these are fluid, and you can move around chess pieces on the chessboard here. Why does Notre Dame have to be 7? Like, they didn't play in a conference championship.
They
will never play in a conference championship game. Like, why couldn't you? I understand Texas. Texas lost the SEC championship game. So Georgia gets the 2 seed because they won in overtime. And then Texas would, because everyone loves the SEC, and the SEC is the big thing and their strength of schedule.
Obviously not, but go ahead.
Well, but they got the highest at-large bid.
They got three teams in.
But Texas had to be 5. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because
the SEC.
So 5 is good. You're good with Texas. Then 6.
Did 6 have to be Penn State? I get it. You lost the Big Ten title game. You shouldn't get penalized a lot for that. And they looked fine. They still lost by 8 points.
The team you're afraid of is Ohio State. You want to move them around so they don't come into the second round against Oregon.
I also think Tennessee is really good, and everyone who loves the SEC should be telling me how awesome Tennessee is with their defense.
Well, I feel like if Penn State was in that spot where Tennessee is, the same issue would exist, where Oregon's still getting a way harder draw. I don't know. I guess Ohio State shouldn't really scare Oregon. They look bad right now.
What happened in the first game? That was Oregon at home, and if not for a couple boneheaded plays by Ohio State, they lose that game. So what's going to happen on a neutral field? See, this... I think it just boils down to this. Are you with me or against me that Oregon got hosed here? That's too much silence, you guys. You're not right on this.
I thought it was a rhetorical question. I am against you. Be clear.
Oh, come on.
I'm very against you.
Well, I mean, are you against me?
Yeah, because it's a preseason argument. Like, where were you in July? You didn't say anything then.
They got through the season undefeated.
This structure was set. I don't even know when it was set. Sometime over the offseason, they decided this format. There's nothing they could have done now.
No,
I mean,
the at-large bids, you can move around as to their discretion. Who's calling them on anything? We don't even understand half their processes.
But it didn't matter. Like, anybody in here, this 6, this 7, 8, 9 is totally, all those teams are really good. I don't think there was any salvaging. Once the system was set, they were screwed.
What's the problem with Maggie, is that they already set the bracket, or rather the rankings. They do this every week.
Yeah.
So we're tracking them. So you can't go into the final week after Oregon has finally won and they're undefeated and they're number one and say, all right, well, now we got to jigsaw this thing and fix the matchup so that it looks better for Oregon. You can't do that at that point. You've already seen Ohio State be ranked behind Indiana after they lost to Michigan. That's already done. They already said that any team that's not playing, they can't move up. They can't do anything about that. So once these teams are all set up, that's just the way it is.
Okay. That's an amazing argument, except for the fact that it was a legitimate discussion whether Alabama would get in over SMU up until the final horn. And if you're saying, oh, well, they can't pick and choose and they can't play favorites and they can't, you know, redesign the criteria on the fly, then Alabama was never a thought.
But that's different because SMU was playing. Now, we could argue whether or not they should have judged that game, and I think that they should not have judged that game harshly. In the end, they didn't. SMU got in. But that's different than when you're talking about Notre Dame, Ohio State, Tennessee, Indiana, all teams that did not play, and saying, find a way to get Ohio State out of this Oregon matchup. Well, Ohio State was already ranked behind Notre Dame. They already were ranked behind Penn State. So you can't then say, all right, well, now that it looks like Oregon has a tough road, we're going to mix up the bracket to help Oregon.
They can do whatever they want.
It's not right, though.
It's less right to just do that with no thought or regard for the number one seed when you could actually shuffle out large bids. So Oregon gets a harder road, even though they're the team that's undefeated.
I just feel like at a certain point you have to go with the teams as they are playing. Like Perloff mentioned, Ohio State is not playing well. They should lose to Michigan and just nothing happened to them. We just assume they're still a top 3 or 4 team. Like, what are we supposed to do with these teams? Tennessee lose to Arkansas. It's like, oh, well, I mean, what do we do? Like, I guess they're still, like, you have to move these teams somewhere. And, like, Oregon got a bad shake. To me, it's more of an issue with the actual format than it is, like, what the committee did.
I agree with you. Like, I think, Maggie, you're missing the point. The problem is they don't reseed. I mean, because basically, once you get into that Big 12 and ACC title winner, then you're on an easy path. The problem is the number one seed by definition is going to get the very strong at large bids. So, and honestly, I do disagree. Like Notre Dame, Tennessee, Ohio State, Tennessee, like they scare you. They have a young quarterback, and they can't do anything on offense. Like, Josh Heupel's offense has disappeared for the most part. I just think that it's totally, like, they're going to recede next year. We all know it. Like, there's two complaints that two things are going to change. Like, the SEC is going to be on a mission this offseason to get more teams in.
Yeah, they got three in. The Big Ten got four in.
Yeah, and ACC basically got three, because I count Notre Dame beating all the UVAs of the world as an ACC team. So that'll change, and they're definitely going to recede next year. This is bad.
It's totally
structural. But I think if you were really going to call this out, you should have called it out in the summer, not now. They're not going to, you know, jury-rig this to get Ohio State out of Oregon's path. That would make no sense.
I thought that the number one seed was going to actually mean something, and nobody knew. I couldn't call this out preseason because I didn't know there'd be one undefeated team left standing. And the fact that that team so going away deserved the number one overall seed and gets no benefit from it whatsoever. 855-212-4227.
Sorry, I just want to like really make this clear. So like, you think that Oregon, like, they're not playing Texas, which is will be harder than playing Ohio State, Tennessee.
Play Texas. They're on the same side of the bracket.
I'm talking about the quarterfinal matchup.
Yeah, that
I guess
would be
that's the issue, right, is that they have this quarterfinal matchup against Tennessee and Ohio State. So it's not Texas. It's either Texas, Notre Dame, Penn State, or those are the teams, right? Like, you're saying Ohio State's the hardest out of those teams?
I'm just going off of what I saw when they played each other earlier this season. I think that that's going to be really tough.
Right.
And people love Ohio State. I know that they lost to Michigan. I understand that. But I think that Ohio State was basically the second team in the country up until 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Ohio State is Chip Kelly's still up in that booth. That is going to be hard to get through Tennessee, because this is, he's running a 2007 offense against a modern team. You might not even see Ohio State.
Okay, other part of this, and Oregon fans, I feel like, have to be on my side, although maybe you're just happy that you got in, you're the number one seed, so you're just riding the cool waves of this awesome season at 855-212-4227. Can we finally put to rest the Alabama-SMU debate?
No, that is obviously... I'm not saying that they got it right with Alabama SMU, but there's definitely a glaring problem with this final 12 teams. Like,
that Alabama's not in it?
Just generally, like, ooh, this is not the best 12 teams in the country. I don't think anybody looks at this field and say, wow, they got the 12 best teams. So I think they made the right call with Alabama SMU, but there probably will be change after this. Like our buddy Dan Wetzel called for them. They got to get rid of the week-to-week ratings because they corner themselves in. So that is... That's
they're
a problem.
Not
I don't
give
think
that
gonna,
up because that's a big part of the television component.
But generally, like, this looks wrong, and you know, Alabama and the SEC promised to unschedule all their games coming up. That was like, I wonder if that's an idle threat, but I don't know.
They're talking about the non-conference, so basically, Alabama doesn't get in because, to be honest, like, I'll skewer the committee on a lot of things. One thing they said that they held true to, which is if you play in your conference championship game and you lose, that's not going to count as such a knock against you. So nobody who lost in their conference championship games, whether it be Texas, whether it be SMU and Penn State, nobody dropped more than two spots. So they were very true to that. They kept their word on that. And when SMU mounted their comeback against Clemson in the fourth quarter, Proloff, and they made that a game, and Clemson needed a 56-yard field goal from a redshirt freshman to win, there was no way they should have knocked off SMU and knocked them out of the bracket, because SMU, by losing on a last-second field goal, is not a reason to say your season is completely irrelevant now.
Right, right. I just think that people are going to come away from this bracket and wonder about the scheduling disparity. It's a real problem
totally
for college
fair.
Football. Like, you look at, pulling up Tennessee's schedule. Like, their preseason was Chattanooga, NC State, Kent State.
Non-conference.
The non-conference. Like, generally, I think that people are going to wonder, also with these big conferences, there's such a disparity within the conference, like Indiana. So I wonder, like, the long-lasting implication of this particular field is going to be strength of schedule. I think that's a huge issue. Ward Manuel said we care about it. Nick Saban said you're an idiot. You obviously didn't care about it. So, and who are people going to listen to?
That's a paraphrase.
Oh my God. He just totally went off. Like, the Alabama group just went nuts on this committee.
I just think it's funny that for the SEC, because the commissioner of the SEC said this and Nick Saban said it, the first place they went to was like, well, screw it. We're not going to have a non-conference schedule that's tough. It's like, who was tough? Alabama played Mercer the second to last game of the season, or third to last game. You beat them by a million. What, going to Wisconsin?
Well, they were talking about their future schedules are, they do have some tough matchups coming up in the next 4 years. I would totally get rid of them. I mean, they should. They better.
But the non-conference isn't what buried them.
But yeah, no, not this year.
It was losing to Vanderbilt and losing to Oklahoma that buried them.
Right, but they're saying we have no padding because we're in the ridiculous SEC, so we can definitely not risk losing an early season game to, I don't know, whatever. I don't even know who's good anymore. Ohio State or Michigan or anybody.
But, like, how rare is that?
Also, if you were to play one of those teams in one, maybe you'd be in this bracket.
Yeah,
how about that?
You could have a better
instead
win.
Of saying we beat Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh, like Miami's big wins over Florida?
No, jeez. But, like, see, that's the thing.
What are you talking about?
Florida's not a bad team. The end of the season was better than the beginning. But here's the thing. I felt like that was a really odd place to go. It's like, here's our threat. Our threat's going to be, you better watch out for our non-conference schedule. It's like, have you guys been watching Michigan? They don't play anybody. Other teams have already figured this hack out.
Yeah.
So the SEC has figured this hack out. They've been doing it.
It's like, I'm sorry, that's your takeaway?
So as Alabama
you're not
going
to pay $1 million for someone to come into your stadium so you can beat the crap out of them? That's the takeaway?
Well, Alabama has a home and home with Ohio State coming up. They have at Notre Dame in 2029. Like, they have a home and home with Notre Dame. Like, yeah, I mean, I think at a certain point, I understand what you're saying. It didn't happen this year, but in general, yeah, you have to be really afraid of that early season loss. I would totally count about it.
It doesn't matter anymore, though. See, I think there's more cushion with that early season loss than there's ever been.
But you can't, it's just so hard to run the table in the SEC. I think that they can't afford that early season loss. So if they're smart, they should totally get rid of those games. Like, why would they keep them?
I mean, I guess then pay to get out of them. I don't think
they have to pay to get out of them. I heard them talking about, like, the conference can easily ditch all those games.
Then do it. Like,
I think they will.
This is the thing. Like, to me, what doomed Alabama is they lost horribly to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Period. And so no playing, you know, there wasn't going to. The non-conference didn't mean anything for them this year. In fact, right. It helped them get right in some ways because they got to beat up on this Mercer team late in the season.
Which they always have that game. But that being said, like, if you're Alabama, you said Michigan had a hack. Like, do not schedule anyone. You really, losses matter. That's a huge number in this deal. Wins do not matter.
But didn't they realize that with this 12-team playoff, you've basically sacrificed the beginning of the season for the end of it?
And
the beginning of the season for college football is never like what it's about anyway. So this is what happens anytime you expand a playoff. The regular season does start to matter a little bit less. And the non-conference is going to matter even a little bit less than that.
Yeah,
and
conference championship games matter just a little bit less. Everything matters, and especially when they go to 16.
Which they're definitely
And do. Then once Alabama gets left off of 16 when they go to, I don't know, 24, 32.
And they're going to use this outrage, this Alabama outrage, to justify the 16.
Oh, yeah.
If they even
I don't even understand, like, who thought of 12? That's such an odd number anyway. Why would you just go to 16?
I don't know.
And then that way you wouldn't have this ridiculous Oregon scheduling problem either.
855-212-4227. All right, college football playoff gets us kicked off today. Oregon, did they get hosed because they've got a hard path even though they're the number one overall seed? And two, Alabama versus SMU. Do you really think SMU deserved to be left out over Bama? 855-212-4227. A lot going on today, guys.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We started off with the college football playoff ranking. I mean, if you are casual and you tune in for these playoffs, you're going to think, how are Arizona State and Indiana in this thing? I mean, when they designed the 12-team playoff, they're like, let's go. We got to get the big dogs. We got to get the Hoosiers and whatever the Arizona State are called. Are they the Sun Devils? Yeah. Yeah, it is just I think it's a hysterical field, and nobody is with me. I put out on X that this feels like a mid-major tournament. Everyone got really mad at me.
You're a troll. This is
a crazy field. Like, the fact that Notre Dame has played, like, their big win is Army. I mean, it's just so funny. It's such a bizarre field because of NIL and the transfer portal. Nobody's good anymore except for Oregon, which is kind of awesome.
Notre Dame beat Texas A&M, which is also, by the way, the best win that Texas has.
And Texas A&M
A&M is not even in the top 25.
And what have they done in the last, you know, except for that one Johnny Manziel year? Like, that's not a big win. Anyway, it is a lot of fun. But I am going to credit you, Maggie Gray, for your restraint. We're already 28 minutes in the show, and I haven't heard Juan Soto's name yet.
Oh, well, now that you brought it up, you know, we'll wait on that for a second. Juan Soto reportedly signing with our New York Mets, which is a good day around here.
Our, get out of here.
We're all basically Mets fans except for Perloff, who's a Phillies fan. So this is just, Christmas cometh early with Juan Soto. But first, Chris in Dallas wants to weigh in on the 12-team playoff. Chris, what do you have?
Yeah, I was thinking I like the format of getting the additional teams in, all the teams in there, the additional eight. I think you could do a different format for ranking them and do it on a formula of strength of schedule, win percentage versus teams over 500, and win percentage against top 25 teams.
Yep, Chris, it's not a bad one. I think you and Perloff are on the same page. So makes strength of schedule the biggest number one criteria, right?
Well, also, too, is there a way that college football can change this so everybody has closer to the same strength of schedule? There's probably not, right? I don't know. I just feel like the schedule, for the most part, kind of stinks, and I don't know why. I'm not sure. I look at the NFL. It's not ideal either. There are some teams get easy schedules, but it feels like it's a lot more fair, their system, where they have an actual system where there's no way that you can't have a team like the Chiefs get through by playing nobody. Eventually, everybody has to play somebody.
Yeah, but you are also the person who says anyone who gets to play the NFC South or the AFC South is at a much...
Well, that
does actually impact seeding and all of that. Schedules come into play even in the pros.
But it's such a much, much bigger issue. I mean, you can't possibly look at this field of 12 and not say schedule is the number one overwhelming factor in this.
So here's what I think boils down to me. Strength of schedule is fine. Do you want conference champions to get the automatic bye? That's the other part of it, because Arizona State and Boise State, as much as we love those guys, it is a little funny to look and say, wow, these are the two teams, two out of the four teams that get byes, like Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, Arizona State. A little of which one of these is not like the other, although to be fair to Boise, they basically lost to Oregon by a similar amount than Ohio State did. They lost by a field goal. Ohio State lost by 1 point. So when Boise was up against the big dog, they played really well. Yeah, Nico.
I think that also goes back to your point about Oregon getting screwed with the one seed thing, because if they did it just based on the rankings 1 through 12, the 8-9 matchup would be Indiana-Boise State.
Thank you, Nico. See,
Ohio State
as opposed
and Tennessee are six and seven ranked teams in the country.
Yeah, the ranking versus seeding is not the same.
But you have to say that in June, then. You can't say it now.
Well,
it's
now
way
we know.
Too late. It's,
how are we supposed to know in June how this fakakta thing's going to work?
Because we sat there and we made predictions, and it was very clear, like the four seed and the three seed, as a matter of fact, were going to be weaker because you have two giant conferences and ACC and Big 12 are below. And then we had no idea Boise State was going to get that high, which is kind of awesome. And we didn't know about Ashton Jedney sort of rewriting the record book.
That's true. Yeah. The ranking versus the seeding. It's like you're on two different planets. Let's go to Kevin's, our pal in San Antonio. Hey, Kev.
Hey, good morning, crew. This is to me, the college football playoff system is kind of complex.
Yeah.
It's the strength of the schedule versus the weak schedule. Now you have small schools that they might get recognized, and just like in the men's basketball tournament, Oakland upset Kentucky.
Yeah, Kevin, so, you know what? It's a great point. Thank you for making it. Always great to hear from you. Glad you're well. I think football is going to be a little tougher to pull off some of these upsets. Mm. I'm curious to see how this is going to go.
Well, this year it might happen. I mean, NIL has obviously created some form of parity where, you're right, Boise was right there with Oregon early in the season. Can I just read one tweet and then we'll move on? One tweet.
We don't have to move on ever. I mean, Bogish is here, but I'll talk about this for... We will talk about this for a year.
I want to let you guys do your little Juan Soto party and... laugh in July when he gets hurt. But that's besides the point. Okay.
Boo. Hater in the Boo house.
Man.
Yeah. We're throwing rotten fruit at you.
Our good friend Jim Nagy, director of the Senior Bowl, tweeted this. And I think it's very relevant. It sort of sums up my argument, too. As someone with access to college tape and a staff of 11 former NFL scouts and logged hundreds of hours evaluating the college football season, it's easy to see why the SEC is mad. based strictly off future NFL talent, Alabama, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and you could even throw in Florida, A&M, and LSU are easily in the top 12. Now SEC ADs have no incentive to schedule tough non-conference opponents, which is a bummer for college football fans.
Well, Notre Dame and Miami beat some of those SEC teams that are ranked, so they should they be
and,
higher?
And like, Alabama lost to Vanderbilt, which is an SEC school. What are we doing?
Yeah, Vanderbilt has none of those NFL Oklahoma. Players, by the way.
I listen, we love Jim. Jim is a great friend
he's
of the show.
He's 100% right, too.
See, I don't think
except
so.
Except he's not.
Because here's the thing about the NFL talent versus this. This is what I don't love about that argument from Jim, and I'd say that if he was right here. I think that some of the great college football stories aren't necessarily guys who panned out in the pros. And some of the legends of college football and things that we remember has nothing to do with the NFL. The NFL is its thing. College is its thing. And I think it's okay. You don't have to say, oh, because the Eagles' future defensive line happens to be all on Georgia, that they deserve X, Y, and Z. When we're here for some of the stories, too. We're here for guys who are going to peak in college. And that's not a fault. That's not their fault.
Right, but we also know that if SMU was in the Big 12, they would be a middling team and they would not be in this tournament. If Indiana was in the SEC, if SMU was in the SEC, they would not be good. If Indiana was in the SEC, they would not be in this bracket. Like, it just wouldn't, we know that as a fact would not be happening.
Well, you say it's a fact, but you also probably would have said it's going to be a fact that Alabama's going to beat Oklahoma and they lost by 3 touchdowns. So you can't just do it on paper.
So you're saying the Hoosiers could have gotten through the SEC like they did the Big Ten this year?
No, but I would have had a problem with the Hoosiers the whole time because the Hoosiers got to play the bottom of the conference. Now, if the Hoosiers were playing the SEC and got to play the total bottom of the SEC conference,
right,
then maybe they would have. Maybe they'd be
no, no, yeah, but, not even. But no, Pearl, no way.
Know, but Pearl, you know these leagues are so big that there is not a blanket SEC schedule anymore.
Yeah,
you can miss good teams. You can get them at home instead of on the road. It's not just saying an SEC. So now you're generally right. Okay, that those teams would have different records if they lived in a different conference. But it doesn't mean they'd be crappy, and it doesn't mean that they wouldn't be Vanderbilt beating Alabama.
It's really, really hard. As everybody on that ESPN show says, like, people don't understand the grind of going on the road in the SEC. For example, Alabama has to go through that brutal game against Georgia. Then they go into Vanderbilt on the road where you have to understand the target on Alabama's back on a week-to-week basis. This is everybody else's Super Bowl when they come to town. It's a lot harder than Indiana Penn State getting lucky to beat Minnesota.
Indiana played an entire season with zero margin for error.
Except for
Ohio State,
right? And they went almost out of the field, right? So they had 1% margin for error. They had one loss. Alabama had three losses, three loss forgiveness until yesterday.
Well, I always thought Indiana should have dropped even more, but they didn't, and I think that was deference to the Big Ten, and I don't know why I understand why the Big Ten is one of the absolute powers. I get that, but I felt like Indiana should have been docked more because that final score was not, to me, indicative of how close that game was.
At the end of the day, there was only one conference that got multiple two-loss teams into the playoff. That's the SEC.
Well, Big ACC. Ten didn't, ACC.
Well, ACC had, no, Clemson only lost one game. I'm talking about conference record.
Oh, okay.
Conference record-wise, the SEC got multiple teams that lost two games in their conference. So they were shown respect. This idea that the SEC wasn't shown respect, they got the highest seeds. Teams that lost two games were ranked higher than teams that were undefeated or lost one game in their conference.
Yeah.
So this, like, fairy tale, the SEC somehow is not being shown respect because Alabama, who lost three games, two games, the teams alone won six games, I just don't buy it. To me, it's pure SEC propaganda.
Yep.
I think the other part, too, is why it's hard to stump for this Alabama team this year is twofold. And I see this a little bit on social media, but you guys can tell me if you think this is happening in real life, too. Which is not just that Alabama had the bad loss to Oklahoma, which is kind of fresh in our mind, but also the fact that I think a lot of people were upset last year that Alabama got in over Florida State. And there might be some residual bad feelings of like, geez, again, this Alabama team is supposed to get, you know, more favorable treatment than a quote unquote more deserving team.
I see. I think the whole problem is a much bigger structural problem where if a conference is awesome, it's going to cannibalize itself. This is like, it doesn't, even if it's not that, say the Big Ten is amazing one year and they have all these great teams. What happens when you have great teams? You beat up each other. So like, it doesn't make any sense. Like the better conference is going to knock its own teams out. That's just the way it's always going to be.
Yeah, but
so the weaker conference is going to get more teams in.
But then again, there is NIL that should spread the talent out a lot more too. So it's not just about, oh my gosh, our conference is so great. There's also guys, maybe Kevin Jennings is playing in the SEC if there's not SMU money behind him or something like that.
Well, Yeah, I mean, Kevin Jennings is wasn't even a starter, right? But yeah, generally, though, the same thing is totally going to happen next year. The SEC is going to be really good, and they're going to beat up each other, and we're going to have the same exact issue.
So Vanderbilt's a good football team? Oklahoma's a good football team? What would their record be in the Big Ten or the ACC?
I mean,
Alabama
Oklahoma
didn't lose to Texas and Georgia, the other best team in the SEC. They lost to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, and they scored 3 points at Oklahoma.
I mean, Oklahoma plays Tennessee really tough. Like, there's a lot. Oklahoma's not that bad.
What's the Oklahoma story for the last how many years has been how not good they are? Giving up points left and right?
They fired their OC. They got rid of their quarterback. Doesn't sound like a team that was on the way to going off to a big season.
Let's get to some headlines. We'll put a pin in that for a second. You're welcome to call 855-212-4227. We get it started with the college football playoff, but there was some other things that happened last night.
All the headlines are sponsored by Mint Mobile. Switch and get half off unlimited premium wireless at mintmobile.com/score. In the end, there was no pinstripe discount, no Aaron Judge preference. New York's baseball teams made reportedly competing offers to Juan Soto, and the 26-year-old stud chose the Mets overnight.
Finally!
It's amazing how versatile that cut is. Me on the treadmill from a couple weeks ago. Let me just make sure I get my jacket off here. Make sure if you're watching on the YouTube stream, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. Basically, looks like the Mets team store in here today.
Yeah, and all it took was 15 years and $765 million, the richest deal in pro sports history. Yeah. There is a 75 mil signing bonus. There's no deferrals because the Mets do things for real, unlike the Dodgers. There is an opt-out after 5. There's a little confusion around that. Apparently, the Mets can void that opt-out by increasing the remaining years by 4 mil apiece, which would push the total value past $800 million. The Yankee offer is said to be 16 years, $760 million, which would have been a slightly lower annual average than the Mets.
Maggie, that looks like a vintage shirt, is it?
It's supposed to look vintage.
Oh, I was wondering if it's the same one you wore when they traded for Mo Vaughn or when they signed Bobby Bonilla or whatever disastrous overpay the Mets.
Those are definitely the same kind of players. It's a good point.
Well, the other part, too, is Bobby Bonilla, different kind of owner, too.
Wait. Mo Vaughn and Bobby Bonilla aren't the same kind of players as Juan Soto?
Neither one of them was a 26-year-old ridiculous on the way to the Hall of Fame player.
Coming off like a back surgery or something.
Well, let's not talk trash about Bobby Bonilla. That guy could play.
Yeah, sure. But he's not Juan Soto. He wishes he was Juan Soto.
This is a great day, Pro Love. you can't bring us down today.
Not even a chance.
You're not going to bring up 34-year-old Mo Vaughn as a date today. Sorry.
Mo Vaughn was awesome. That's the other
thing. Yeah, he was awesome. Just not Juan Soto awesome.
5 years before he got to the Mets. That's when he was awesome.
No, this is, you can't bring us down. You can't rain in our parade today, Pearl. No. As much as you want to with your negativity, can't
your
do
nonsense.
It. No, but to be honest, your Phillies weren't even in the final five. So you really can't.
So when the Diamondbacks escape the NL next year, we'll all both be in the same boat. Because we have a huge payroll, too.
Let's see. I mean, the Mets got to the NLCS without them last year. So you have to hope that this makes it even better.
Baseball also gave us the Dodgers reportedly signing veteran outfielder Michael Conforto last night, and Dick Allen and Dave Parker elected to the Hall of Fame by the Classic Baseball Era Committee. That covers players whose biggest impact came before 1980. Sunday also giving us the latest Chiefs escape.
Winchester snaps it. Placement is down. Wright's kick is up, and the kick is good! 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 And the Kansas City Chiefs do it again. The third kicker this season to have a walk-off field goal.
Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. I think you could hear the doink of Matthew Wright's game-winning 31-yard field goal going in off the left upright as time expired for a 19-17 home win over the Chargers on Sunday Night Football. As Holtis said, Wright's the third KC kicker this season with a walk-off field goal. No team had ever before had more than one. Patrick Mahomes, his team is now 12-1.
Even though I feel like we could have played better, I mean, that's a good football team, a good defense, and we were able to have a good last drive there to get us in field goal range. And as long as we have a chance to go out there and have the football and make a play happen, I feel like we're going to make it happen.
The Chiefs win the AFC West for the 9th year in a row. They've also won 15 straight one-score games.
That was the most predictable ending of the Chiefs game. I didn't see the doink coming on the game winner, but basically that followed the script of the entire year. Let's put a pause on that. We got to take a quick break. Bogus, thank you so much. When we come back, so much more on the news from last night about Juan Soto finally picking a destination, reportedly. He's coming to the New York Mets, and also more of your calls on the college football playoff bracket.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in, trade-in, service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket, and if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Had to wait for that drop. Okay, so bigger question for the college football playoff and looking at the bracket, what are you more upset about, or should we be more upset about? The fact that Alabama did get snubbed, SMU is in. I don't have a problem with that, by the way. I know Perloff does. The other part is, did Oregon get hosed because they're the number one overall seed, they're undefeated, yet it looks like they have one of the hardest paths because they have to play the winner of Ohio State, Tennessee, two incredibly strong programs?
I do want to clarify, SMU had to get in. I was furious. Like, SMU was going to get in over Alabama because you can't penalize them for a conference loss.
Yeah, my conference championship.
My bigger issue picture is, like, the scheduling seems off. It just seems bad that Penn State, Notre Dame, Texas, Indiana, that they didn't beat anybody, and they're all in this field. I understand the committee had no choice. Like, at the end of the day, their hands were tied. Alabama lost the third game.
Yeah.
But it just, the state of college football seems off to me. I just don't understand why there's such a huge disparity in scheduling. Like, how you can get to the playoff without ever beating anybody doesn't make sense to me, Maggie.
It does feel like a flaw in this format. Absolutely. Absolutely. But it wouldn't have been made better by somehow shoehorning Alabama into this thing,
yeah,
and basically defying all of your own rules, however flimsy they may be, but defying everything you've said previously just to get Alabama. First of all, I don't think this Alabama team is worth that much backbending. And secondly,
no.
You, like you said, if you had taken SMU out of this field, I mean, then the committee's just a sham.
Because of the conference title game. Like, if they had, you're saying if they had sat home, they would have been fine. The fact that they went to that game, obviously you can't penalize them for that.
Now, fact they were down 2 scores to start the fourth quarter, I was like, this might not be good for SMU. But to their credit, they came all the way back and lost on the last second field goal.
They came out of the gate, just tripped up completely, threw up all over themselves in the first quarter. Then they settled down.
Lights a little bright for SMU at the outset, but they settled in.
Let me ask you a question. If Nick Saban was a coach of Alabama, are they in this playoff field?
See, we said that last year with FSU, if Deion Sanders was the head coach of Florida
State.
Well,
that's a definite. That one's not even close. Of course they would.
You know, I don't even think so. And Saban's been left out of the playoff before. I don't think so. I think it's because they need college football as a whole, especially the people who are really counting the money. They need the conference championship games to still matter.
Yeah.
Because why wouldn't someone just opt out, if that's even possible?
By the way, I don't even know, who's they? Like, I always wonder, college football, they don't need the money. Nobody owns these teams.
I think it's because when they promise something to the TV networks, we're going to deliver on a product that's worth you spending billions of dollars. That can't be a conference championship game that means nothing. That's basically one giant throwaway.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, where does the money actually go? Who's earning this money? It's administrators.
We've been asking that for years.
Now it's 1,000 college administrators to every one student, and they're all just, give me the money. Give me the money.
Listen, you can call in 855-212-4227 on this bracket. Now, EJ has a saying, people who duck smoke, right? Don't want to have to own up to it when their teams lose. I am not someone who ducks the smoke, which is why I'll go to George in L.A., whose Rams beat my Bills yesterday in one of the bizarro coaching situations I've ever seen, and that's saying something about my own team. George, to the victor goes the spoils. How you doing today?
Oh, good, Maggie. Good Perloff, EJ. That was a great game. The Rams, for the first time all year, their offense was on fire. They had to be on fire because they were going against the great Josh Allen. And, my gosh, somebody told me that he would get 3 rushing touchdowns, 3 passing touchdowns, break NFL record, and still lose. That was amazing.
Yeah, because you're not supposed to lose those games, George, when your quarterback has 3 rushing touchdowns and 3 passing touchdowns. You're supposed to win that game, and the Bills blew it.
They did not blow it. George, the Rams beat them because Puka Nacua went Superman on them.
He is amazing.
I mean, honestly, if you can't win that game when you have the best receiver game I've ever seen in my life, the Rams were awesome in that game.
Okay, why did he have the best receiver game in his life? It could be because Puka Nacua is the next Jerry Rice, or it could be because the Bills' defense didn't do anything different stop him.
How do you defend a guy who's got 2 tippy toes and reaches out with one hand? Those catches were insane. There's no defense. Telling you, they... Cup and Nacua earned that win.
Listen, that one play on the sideline with Nacua, you tip your hat to the guy. How about the other 10 targets when he's wide open in the middle of the field? Tom Brady is jaw on the ground. He's you're not going to get more open than that. He goes, that's 100% completion rating for Matthew Stafford is going to find
No. Cup made some incredible catches. It wasn't just that one. He's ridiculous.
George, congratulations.
Thanks, George.
Really, the story, though, is the Sean McDermott time management and the timeouts yet again come back to bite the Bills right in the...
You also let up 40-something points.
Yeah, well, that too. And he's the defensive play caller. Okay, lots more to do.